Well, good morning, church, and let's just have a word of prayer. Wasn't the worship awesome? It was just wonderful. And I'll tell you, if you notice here that we love to worship God, City Harvest exists to glorify God through the zealous worship of our God and total obedience to the scriptures. And you'll notice it's the songs that we sing. It's not just yippee, skippy, let's just sing a nice little song. But it is making declarations in the Spirit of God. When we're saying, in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, we are speaking with the authority of the Word of God. We are not speaking in our own strength, because you know what I'd say? I got nothing. But we are speaking in the strength and the authority of the living God who has given us that delegated authority. And And even thinking, what a wonderful name it is, how powerful the name of Jesus is. If we can really get a hold of what God has laid hold of us for, we will be unstoppable. We will be unstoppable in bringing the gospel to the nations. Starting right here, this is our Jerusalem. Jesus said to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit had come. And he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. And so we have our India mission team over there. We got my husband, Brother Mike, Ben, our guitar player. And we have Chris, who does the media over there, my son-in-law, Homer. There's five men that have gone over there to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are partnering with Christian Life Ministries over there. And it is a tremendous blessing that we are able to do this, because we know that God has made from one blood all nations that dwell on the earth. And that it is our responsibility, and that is our call as believers in Christ to spread this gospel. And as we are worshiping, and I'll tell you, some people don't worship. Some people just stand there and I understand. Some people just aren't there yet. They don't get it. It's like singing another song. What's going on? But we are making, you see, the music will cause you to open your heart to the truth of those words. That's why we do actually look at the words and make sure that they are in keeping with the Word of God, that they are scriptural, that they are words that you can know that agree with the Word of God. And as we were worshiping, I was thinking of this scripture in Revelation chapter 5. And this is John's revelation. And he said, they sang a new song. They sang a new song. All those people in heaven, they sang a new song. They said, you are worthy, meaning Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll. Remember, there was no one found worthy to take the scroll. And they sang a new song. And they said, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. That's what authority is about. That's real authority. That is authority that we have in God. Then I looked, John wrote and said, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, for those of you that do math, all you math accounting people, I don't know if you can add that up or multiply that up. It's a lot. It's a lot of worshipers, okay? And this is what they said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. This is why we worship God. He is the eternal God. He is the one who's created all that we see. And this is why we sing. This is why we sing. And thank God for the instrument players and the singers who have dedicated their time and their talents to do so. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord God. We acknowledge you as the Most High God and the Most Nigh God. There is none like you, O God. We will forever worship your name. We will forever declare that your name is powerful, that you are unstoppable. We will forever declare that you are the God who was slain. You are the one who was slain, and yet you have raised from the dead. We will forever declare to the ends of the earth who you are and what you have done in us. We will forever declare. We will forever sing your word. We will forever give praises unto you and bless your name forever and ever. I ask you, Lord God, to bless this word today. I pray that our hearts would be strengthened, that our minds would be open to receive the true living word of God. There is nothing like your word, O God. And I pray that you would help us to be people who will forever walk with you, hold our feet to your path, that we would not sin against you, O God. But we thank you, Lord, for the efficacious blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ that helps us, Lord God. You have told us in your word to come boldly before your throne of grace, that we might find mercy for our failures and grace to help us in time of need. We thank you, Lord, that this is our inheritance as the believers in Christ. We ask you to bless this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you all. So it was nice to see those pictures, a little bit of what's going on in India. I tell you what, I think the reason why God created time zones is so that worship could be going on 24/7. And somebody could be sleeping. Somebody could sleep. As you know, when David set up his tabernacle, that he ordained people to worship God 24 hours a day. And that's what David's tabernacle is about, is the worship of God 24/7. So anyways, you just saw my husband and the team. They send their greetings from India. And thank you so much, all the people. I know there's been many people who've been meeting for prayer, specifically for the team. And we know the famous quote, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. If you want to strike the winning blow, you pray. And then you go out and then you do what you have to do. And we are here at City Harvest, know that we can do more after we pray than before we pray. So we are praising, we are praying, we are people that believe the word of God. My husband asked me to speak today. Now, I have to tell you, we've been married a number of years, and a number out there. And every time he asked me to speak, you know, in my natural flesh, I'm like, no. We have elders. We have teachers. Don't be bothering me. Okay. That's my flesh. Now, listen, I've been in Christ long enough now that I have a filter, praise Jesus, that I have a filter, and that my husband always says, thank God my head is not a TV screen, because you probably would not like me. Even if you don't like me now, you'd like me less, let me put it that way. And it never gets easier. And because of this reason, I honor the word of God, and I think it is a privilege to come and open the word of God to the church, and I think it is a very serious undertaking. I don't want to tell you something that's not true. I don't want you walking away misunderstanding God, and as much as possible as Christians, we do want to reflect Jesus Christ. We want to be a good reflection, and my husband called me this morning, and he said, I'm praying for you. I said, don't worry about me. Pray for the church. They got to listen to me. He goes, oh, I didn't think of that. I said, yeah, pray for the church. So he said, okay, I'll pray for the church too. So anyway, you know, the scriptures say that don't many of you desire to be teachers because you will incur this stricter judgment. Like, you knew. There's a difference between somebody who really doesn't know and they're just kind of slogging through life like, what's going on? You know what they say? There's people who make things happen. People that wonder what happened. People don't do anything. So, but anyway, the scriptures say don't desire to be teachers because you will incur a stricter judgment because you knew. You knew. And so I'm not a theologian, so we're not going to get like something too heavy theological here. But the Bible says that we must study to show ourselves. I said the S word. Oh, well, people are like, what? Must study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that word rightly dividing means accurately interpreting the word of truth. And I'll tell you, in my years as a Christian, I've heard some wacky things that people said that I was like, I'm sure that's not in the Bible. Don't mean to argue, but but the fact that I only can wear blue pants and a tunic, I think is not in the Bible, and I'm not doing it. So, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I beg to differ. So, but it's very sobering to expound the Word of God and to all. So, you know, the Lord's Word, the Word of God is pure, it's powerful, it's effective, corrective, directive, life-giving, strengthening, comforting. It brings light. It brings life. And as my husband always says, this is the truth from another world. Anybody who's into sci-fi, this is a truth from another world, okay? And we also have to determine who's going to determine reality here on the face of the earth, here at City Harvest, here in Albany, here in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Is it going to be the devil who's going to determine truth, or is it going to be this word right here, the Word of God? Yes, and we have seen a massive attack on the Word of God. People say that America is in a post-Christian phase. Oh, I think it's worse than that. I think it's in an anti-Christian phase. But that's not new. Look what people went through in the past, in the centuries past. People were burned. People were burned at the stake. People were beheaded. People were dragged through the streets. And, you know, it's never been good. It's never been good because Satan is a liar. Satan has been trying to destroy mankind since the beginning, since Genesis chapter 1. You really got, you know, don't have to go far to find out that Satan is a destroyer. And anything that is made in the image of God, which would be all of you, all of us here, we're all made in the image of God. He hates you. So let's just get that settled. The devil hates you, okay? He will do anything in his power to destroy you. He will do anything in his power to deceive you. He'll do anything in his power to tempt you. And he will do anything to discourage you. So just kind of, you know, that's a normal Christian day. Well, whatever, okay? So don't get too excited about it. So And some people come to church, you know, I know Sunday morning, some people come to church sometimes with a heavy heart. I've come to church before with a heavy heart. I have to put on my Christian mask because sometimes it's personal stuff and I don't really want to talk about it. And sometimes people have questions and concerns. Some people come to church and they're, you know, trapped in that same old habit of kicking the cat. I just don't seem to be able to quit. And poor cat lovers. And but I'll tell you what. If you are washed by the Word of God every day, you are washed by His Word, you will find strength and peace and hope, renewed vitality, deliverance. Let me tell you what, this word here is definitely the truth from another world. I don't know how it works, but it does. When I read God's Word, I feel like I can do this. I feel like I can go on. And the other thing, too, before I go on, too, I want to clarify one thing. If you're a man in the church, don't get all nervous. I don't think I'm discipling you, okay? We're not, you know, like women taking over the church kind of thing. Although women do a large share of the work in the church, I must say. I'm just saying. But yes, because you know what? Sadly, you know, but anyway, I want you to know, I believe that men need to disciple men and women need to disciple women. So let's just, you know, get that. Not because anyone's incapable of doing so, but no one understands a man like another man, and no one understands a woman like another woman. Now, I know in our society today, people are trying to say that we're all alike. No. Even medically speaking, neurologically speaking, women and men are hardwired differently. And I had, they're just hardwired. They might come at the same conclusion, but they'll come at it differently. It's a known fact. Although now we have the lies that are going forth in our nation about you know, transgender and all this nonsense. It's a lie. Okay, we're not going to talk about Romans 1. But if you ever want to know, just read Romans 1. Okay. So, but anyway, notice I said that I believe that according to the scriptures, a man needs to disciple a man, and a woman needs to disciple other women. We must determine it in our hearts that people are going to follow the Word of God. And I have to say, I'm not a perfect person. I know you're all shocked, but but I'm not. And we have to determine in our hearts that we're going to follow the Word of God. Now, I am really a word person. I really love God's word. God has done so much for me in my life. I just could stand here for hours, but I won't do that to you. And but I'm sure you all have testimonies too. Some of you have great testimonies of what God has done through his word. But I want to tell you something. We have to be careful when it comes to opinions. Oh, I so like my opinion better. And so so when it comes to my opinion and your opinion, you lose, okay? But when it comes to the word of God, I say yes, sir, and get in line. That's it. I say yes, sir, to the word of God. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture, thank you, Dan, is given by inspiration of God. That's all scripture. Now, listen, I can't cover everything. I would love to, trying to speak to a group of people, it's really hard to like narrow down what I want to do because there's so many things in the Bible and I could just be like all over the place and you'd be like, huh? So, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now listen, anybody from my generation understands that when someone says that the man of God implies women also. You see, we're now into a generation that thinks that obviously there were some people now that are trying to rewrite the Bible and change things to she and all this business. No, it is a grammatical understanding in English, that when you refer to man, you mean like mankind. That would be men and women. So we don't have to, God didn't have to in his word say for instruction in righteousness that the man slash woman, every place that he writes man, woman, no, not necessary. So we're all in this together. And we owe it to ourselves to study the word of God and to really understand who God is and what he says. This is where people fail. We don't understand who he is, and we don't understand what he says, and we don't bother to learn. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 28, and today I'm going to be talking about godly authority and the Holy Spirit anointing. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, all authority has been given to me, and that's why I was so blessed by the worship today, because a lot of the songs are about the authority that he has. And we know as the church, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he has given us his authority. That is not a small thing. Let me tell you what. Someone just gave you a badge, and you're like a police officer, and you go out and stand on the road. You've got the authority of the government behind you to make traffic stop, okay? God has given to the believer the same authority that he paid a heavy price for. He died. He suffered. He rose again from the dead. That's nothing small. That's big stuff. We have authority, but I think a lot of times we don't understand. We just, the word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And how many people have we shortchanged ourselves? We don't understand the authority that we have in Christ. But he said here, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now he tells us, go, therefore, and into all the world, and that's what we're doing, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus said that he would be with us always to the end of the age. So when my husband asked me to speak, of course, I mean, in my flesh, I'm like, no. But but you know what? I've been a Christian long enough. I know to say yes to the things that God would have me do and just go and do it. Just do it and just see what God will do. And actually, my husband actually gave me the topic. He told me to speak on authority. I'm like, why can't I speak on like love and peace and, you know, things that make people feel good and happy and they feel good about themselves. Okay, so, but I'm a woman under authority, okay? So he's the pastor of the church. He wants to, okay, speaking on authority then. But I'll tell you what. Why is understanding authority so important? It's because it keeps us in right alignment with God. And if our authority is coming from God and we're in line with him, we are not going to be able to be stopped. And the anointing of God will flow through us. So The other problem I have with authority is like, listen, people have abused authority since day one. Really, really, authority has been used. People have been controlling. People have abused people. They have done horrible things because they were, you know, in charge, that kind of stuff. Whether it's been parents, it's been husbands, it's been wives, it's been people in government. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Just look over history. People have abused authority. Now, I'll tell you what. If you all have authority, whatever your authority is, you will be responsible to God. You will answer to God for what you did with it, okay? So there's some people there who are getting their reward now for what they did with what they had. And it's been so misunderstood and so misused. And just to sidetrack for a minute, this nonsense with this, you know, women's march and all this kind of stuff, let me tell you what. I am secure in Christ. I know that my God loves me. I know that I don't feel misunderstood. I don't feel, now people have misunderstood me for sure. That's happened, okay? That kind of stuff there really, to me, is about anti-male kind of stuff. It's an attack on men. It's really what it is. And sadly, some of those women probably have been under the authority of someone who has misused them, who has abused them, and now they have a very twisted idea of what real godly authority is like. And that's part of Satan's plan, to make confusion, to wreak havoc in the church. And it happens in the church, in the society. And but if we understand real biblical authority, we will really have a flow of the Holy Spirit that you're not going to see, like that you haven't seen in this generation. So that said, I just want to remind everybody, too, that the personhood of Jesus Christ brings our peace. And you've heard this said before in this church. Knowing Jesus Christ brings our peace. You need peace. You need to know Jesus. You know what they say, know Jesus, like N-O, Jesus, know peace, N-O. And then know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know peace. Okay, that's a little thing. But remember, the personhood of Jesus Christ brings us our peace. But the principles of Christ bring our prosperity. So many times people love the Lord. They've been born again. They've been even filled with the Holy Spirit. But they don't understand the principles of the Word of God. Pastor Jimmy was just talking about one of the principles of the Word of God is tithing. It's tithing. Because you know what? Like he said, God does not need our money. Really, do you think God needs our money? I mean, is he like broke? And so, I don't think so. What it is, I really believe why God instituted tithing was so that he would know where our heart was at. Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart is. If your treasure is in slot machines, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is in comic books, I'm not picking up the comic book people, okay? Your heart is there. If your treasure is in, sports, or your treasure is in traveling, and all those things are good things. They're all good things. But if that's where you put all your money, I tell you what, if you look where someone writes all their checks to, you know where their heart is. And so he wants to make sure that we're okay. God wants us to have money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He just doesn't want money to have us. So the principles of Christ bring us our prosperity. We'll be prosperous in our relationships. We'll be prosperous in our finances. We'll be prosperous in our work. Wherever God takes us, we will be prosperous if we understand the principles of the Word of God and walk in them. Okay, so here's Psalm 133. It says this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, when I look at this scripture, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay, some people misunderstand unity. Unity doesn't mean we all have to walk lockstep together. We have to like the same things. We have to want to go to the same places. No, that's not unity. That's kind of nonsense. I knew some ladies, and I know we're on the internet. Does my hair look all right? So I need a little mirror up here. So, but I knew these ladies, and it was so weird. They would go shopping together and buy the same dresses. I'm like, really? I'm like, that was like unity. I'm like, that's not unity. That's odd. Just odd. I'm sorry. And besides, that's not in your color chart. You shouldn't even be buying that dress. So anyway, all the women know what I'm talking about. We're the right colors. Okay. So, but it's, but that's not unity. Real unity is deeper than that. Okay, so let's go ahead now. I'm going to talk for a moment. We're going to come back to this. But anyway, this scripture is very profound because at first glance, you think it's talking about everybody just getting along together. It's getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. You know, no, it's not about that. It's much deeper than that. Okay, but it's about authority and the anointing. That's what that scripture is about. So let's go to number one, types of authority. And this is not an inclusive, exhaustive study of this, okay? But I believe that our church now, God is positioning us for harvest. He is positioning us for harvest. And if we don't build correctly, the enemy will come in and he will wreak havoc. And it's very important now, especially at this time, because I feel like God has increased the time. Things are speeding up. And, you know, the older I get, the faster I think I need to go. So, I mean, Moses didn't even start his ministry till he was 80. Okay, so, hey, anybody who's under 80, you think you're slowing down? Oh, no, it's time to pick up the pace, okay? It's time to stop sitting around. Let's get going. Let's move. Okay. So spiritual authority, number one, the ultimate spiritual authority, of course, is God, all right? He's it. Now, I know people don't believe in God, and that's fine. I say do that at your own risk and at your own error, and you will find out one of these days the God that you didn't believe in is actually God. And there's going to be trouble, and there's not going to be much you're going to be able to do about it. So the ultimate authority, ruler and judge over all the earth is God. And his word is the authority. Now, it seems strange to me nowadays that people don't fear God. You know, I grew up in a generation when there was actually prayer in school. And it stopped in the early 60s. But we used to, over the loudspeakers, you could have prayer in school. And people, even if they didn't know God or go to church or anything, they knew who Adam and Eve were. They knew who Noah was. They knew who Daniel was. They knew who Jesus was. They might not believe in him, but they knew this. I actually, a few years ago, I was talking to a little child. He was probably 5. I'm like, I had a movie. I said, do you know who this is? You know, I had, you know, people with the fig leaves on. And I'm like, hey, who do you think that is? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, let's try that again. These are the first two people on the earth that God made. I don't know who they are. I said, you don't know their names? No. Never heard of them. I said, how about this? Let me give you a clue. Adam and Eve? Nope, never heard of them. I was like, oh my gosh. That child is probably 18 years old. That's the kind of generation that we're in right now. That when people grew up in this country, you at least knew, if you didn't believe, you knew who these people were. You knew who God was. You knew who Jesus was. You knew things about the Bible. But because we are now in an anti-Christian phase in this society and all over the world, it's the wheat and the tares growing together, church. It's the wheat and the tares growing up. The true church of the living God and the weeds are growing together. And the weeds look kind of like the church. That's why it's like nails on a blackboard when I say, well, you know, maybe it's okay for a homosexual marriage. I'm like, do you not read the Bible? Hello? And then now, of course, the narrative is, of course, if you say that this is not of God, oh, you're a hater. Well, my term to people like that is, well, you're a deceiver. You want to call me a hater? I'm calling you a deceiver because you're not telling people the truth. And you are harming them. And you are harming people by not telling them the truth. Now, you can tell it in love. You don't have to be nasty to somebody. but and someone who was obviously very confused about their maleness or their femaleness, okay? But I'm going to tell them the truth. So I'm not going to deceive them. But by the grace of God, this will change with us rising up, as the people of God rising up. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now I have to tell you something. I never really go on Facebook, so I apologize to all the people that I don't respond on Facebook, okay? I'm terrible. And this is a good thing I don't say bad things about people on Facebook, because I'm always clicking on the wrong stuff, and I could probably send it to some person I didn't mean it to go to, and then there's going to be a big uproar and all that kind of stuff. So, but this person I know had posted a picture of a woman at a at some kind of demonstration. And on her sign, I won't tell you the whole sign because it was so foul, and the woman was holding a sign, and it was obviously anti-male, and she said, you know, I didn't come from your side, you came from blah, blah, blah. So I was so offended by that sign, I thought, okay, I got to say something about this. It just got me. So I said, biology 101, you know, this, you know, and I gave her a little lesson in biology, and then I said, by the way, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And so then the person wrote back to me, and it's a relative, actually. That really made it really, really pleasant, because then I was getting phone calls now. So the relative came back and said, I'm an atheist. Are you calling me a fool? I had no idea you were an atheist. I knew they were raised in a certain church, and I had no idea. I said, well, I didn't know you were an atheist. I said, I wasn't calling you a fool. I said, but by the way, anybody who says there's no God is a fool. And I said, just saying. And then I said, oh, and you're an atheist. And I said, you know, the atheists have a prayer line. I said, you call up and nobody answers. She didn't think that was too funny either. I was like, oh, just saying. No one's going to answer. And so anyway... But anyway, I had to smooth that over. It took a couple of weeks to straighten that all out. But anyway, I've seen a few more signs, and I thought, one day I sat there and I thought, should I respond? Should I? I'm so tempted. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, stop. So I did pray for this individual, because they're lost. That person's lost. And so they rail against the truth. These are people who are railing against the truth of the Word of God. We know the truth. I don't need that individual's, positive response that I know that this is the truth of the Word of God. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that person's going to come to know Christ one day. And I believe in the power of God. And so I'm not worried about it. But anyway, I might have a few more jokes. I did tell them that there was an atheist church they could attend. I couldn't help it. It's like, by the way, the atheists have a church you can go to if you're looking for one. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. God forgive me. Like I said, if my head was a TV screen, I got all kinds of stuff going on in there. So, and then the filter of the Word of God, praise Jesus. So anyway, in kids church, actually, I don't know if everybody here knows Jesus Christ. I'm not going to assume, because everybody walked in this church this morning, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm praying that you do. And if you don't, I pray that today, before you leave, you know Jesus as your Savior. That's all it takes, is praying and asking God into your heart. That's how I got born again. Now, not everybody got born again in a church. I did. Someone invited me, and I've shared this testimony before. Someone invited me to church. I hadn't been to church in quite a while. I used to pretend I was going to church, and I would go out and do some other things, and then I would come back and say church was great. But but I never actually drove there. And but that's the day I accepted Christ. I don't know what that guy was talking about. I came into that church, and there was nothing in the church except like a cross hanging up. I'm like, what's going on? Where's the candles? Where's the statues? I'm like, this place is like empty. And but thankfully, someone asked me to back for a cup of coffee. And I encourage people, you know, when you bring a friend or something like that, go back there, have a cup of tea, coffee, whatever, and chat with them, especially if you've invited someone who doesn't know Christ. And that's the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was that easy. Did I know anything? Oh, no. Was I extremely dangerous? Oh, yeah. Did I say crazy stuff to people? Oh, for a couple of years. Yeah, I said some crazy stuff because I didn't know what the scripture said. Okay. And I was convinced that I needed to go on the attack. I attacked a few people for sure. I was like an attack sheep. I went after people until I realized after a couple of years, that's not going to work. Okay? We're just going to have a knockdown drag out over the Bible. In fact, I did know somebody, if anybody remembers the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International from the 70s and 80s, we knew a man who spoke, and he had found Christ, but he didn't know anything about the Lord, so he set up a dinner, and then he had like alcohol and all this stuff at the dinner, and then somebody said something insulting to him, he got in a fist fight with him. Just all in the name of Jesus. And it was like, oh, maybe you gave him a track and told him Jesus loves him, right, after you punched him in the head. And so I was probably a little dangerous in the early days, but I really got born again. And so don't leave here today. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come up here and talk to one of the pastors, the elders, and find out more. And this is something I used to always put in kids' church. This is very simple, and I'm going to get to the rest of my message here. Four things I used to tell the kids. Number one, this is real simple. God loves me. It takes people years to really understand God loves me, especially if you've done bad things, which is probably everybody, okay? And God loves me. Number two is I have sinned. Number three, Jesus died for me. Four, I must choose to live my life for God. That's pretty simple. Okay, not that hard. Okay, and but I want to tell you, spiritual authority, God is the ultimate authority and his word. But there is another form of spiritual authority too, which is the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, husbands, wives. We all have areas of authority that God has given to us. And God chooses people who are flawed, people who are not perfect. Again, everybody here, I'm sure. And but praise God, that's the way God wants it. He doesn't want us leaning on our own goodness, our own strength, and say how wonderful I am and how good I am and all that kind of stuff. And it's all about me. No, it's all about him. And it's all about what he can do and what he will do if we submit ourselves to him. 1 Corinthians 1:27 is God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. I'm going to say I'm in that category right there. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And there was a purpose for that. Not because God wants a bunch of weak, sickly people that can't do anything. No, he wants to empower those weak, sickly people to do great exploits in his name so that no flesh will glory in his presence. No one's going to be able to say, oh, those people came to Christ because I'm just so wonderful. No, it's because of the anointing and the authority that he gave me, and I used it for his glory. So, and now I have the four R's, and we're talking about godly authority and the Holy Spirit anointing. Now, four R's that we need to have in order to have the flow of the Holy Spirit and God's anointing in our life and the authority. Because if we're not in right relationship in all these different relationships, there's going to be a stop in the flow of the anointing. First one has to be a right relationship with God. Listen, God has made a way for us to come before his throne of grace to find mercy for our failures and grace to help us in time of need. He has given us the blood of Jesus Christ to set us free, that we can be forgiven. I know people might have done something bad in their lives that they will beat themselves for years. And the devil just doesn't even have to really harass you much. You're doing it to yourself. We have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a right relationship with God if you have been born again. It's not because you did something good. I know a lot of times religious training is good persons go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Well, guess what? We're all in the bad category. We're all there, okay? But some people are standing on their own righteousness, and it's not what God wants. He said in his word, your righteousness is like filthy rags. Oh, you know all those good works I did working at the food pantry and taking care of the sick and all that kind of stuff? It's not good enough? Well, no, it's not. Because our sin is so bad that is not enough to make it okay. The only thing that's going to wash it away, something's not going to make it okay either. It has to be washed away. And the blood of Christ is the only thing that's going to wash it away. He washes it away. And then we do the good works. We've been born again, so we have to have a right relationship with God. Now, second one, this is a big one, okay? A right relationship with delegated leadership. Okay, let's turn to Numbers 16, and I'm not going to read the entire thing. Many of you are familiar with this, it's always good to remember the principles of Christ will bring our prosperity. We have to understand we are coming into a phase now in the church where we really need to have certain things in place that we do not allow the enemy to get in and create divisions and create problems and to create a blocking of the flow of the Holy Spirit. So Numbers chapter 16, and this is about Korah, K-O-R-A-H. You know who this is. Okay. Now, Korah was of the tribe of Levi. Now, we know Levi, they're the priests. And if anybody knows, when David was trying to transport the Ark of the Covenant, he put it on an ox cart. Remember, it was in that other town for like 20 years, and he put it on, and the Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God was. And David put it on a new ox cart, and he had really good cattle pulling it, and it had a lot of singing and all that kind of stuff going on. And the oxen stumbled, and a man put his hand up to stabilize it. He was trying to help. He was only trying to help, and God struck him dead. And David was like, "What? You know, will you strike the guy dead? He was just trying to help." What David failed to realize, and he did realize later, is that the presence of God was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. They were supposed to be the ones. And that is a picture of the presence of God being carried on the delegated leadership. And so what happened is he was of the tribe of Levi. That's no small thing. This Korah was of the tribe of Levi. And what they did, though, in verse 3, is they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, 250 of them. That's about how many people might even be in here. I'm sure Moses was like, "What are you all doing here?" I mean, the people who are heads of groups and tribes and so on. And he said, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Now, Aaron was the high priest. He's of the priesthood also, but he's of the priestly high priesthood. Okay, different priesthood. And so they came there, and they complained to Moses. And they said, "You're taking too much on yourself. We don't like what you're doing. And we have come to straighten things out." Okay, I'm thinking, don't do that. Now, Moses, being the man of God that he was, knew that this was not a rebellion toward him, but it was a rebellion toward God. And the first thing he did was cry out for these people, because he knew, oh, boy, stand back. And so what he did is he cried out for them, and he cried out to God about what to do, and he told them to bring their censers and with flame in it and so on the next time they were going to meet. But the nerve. Now, this is delegated leadership. Moses was not perfect. We know that. When God came to him and said, take off your shoes. This is the place where you're standing. It's holy ground. And so on, and the burning bush experience. And then he had told him to go to see Pharaoh. He didn't say, "Oh, yes, sir." No, he said, "Well, who do I say is sending me? Who are you?" And he said, "I am that I am is sending you." So he was like, okay. And then, of course, Moses kind of argued with God. I'm not a good speaker. I really can't do this. And so then finally God said, "Fine, have Aaron will be your mouthpiece." Okay. So he had his flaws. Moses had his flaws. Let me get this straight. Delegated leadership has their flaws. And sometimes I think that's why God uses people who are flawed. Because if there is rebellion in somebody, oh, those flaws will bring it out. I mean, I'm telling you what, it's going to be like throwing oil on top of water. I mean, it's just going to come right to the surface. And so what did Moses say to him? In verse 9, he said this, "Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation?" Oh, is it no big deal that you're Levites? That's not good enough for you somehow? that you get to take care of the house of God, the tabernacle in the wilderness. You get to do these things, carry the presence of God on your shoulders. That's not good enough, huh? Okay. Well, and he basically at that point, I think they should have said, "Whoa, yeah, you're right. You know what? We need to repent." No, they didn't do that. And he said, "So you're seeking the priesthood also," meaning Aaron priesthood. Remember, the high priest was the one who went into the tabernacle once a year. And he was consecrated. He was dripping with oil and so on. He said, "Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord." And we've seen this before in scriptures, people being gathered together against the Lord. They think they're attacking that man of God, that woman of God. They think they're attacking a person. Let me tell you what. Be very, very careful. And I had a situation years ago where my husband had a situation where the Lord gave him a word for somebody. And he said to this person, he said, "I'm telling you right now that you have sowed something into my life." And he said, "You're going to reap, unless you repent, you will reap the consequence of that thing." And I'll tell you what, within a year, that man reaped the consequences of what he had done. I mean, he really did something to harm us. He did. And I said to my husband, I said, "I wasn't even in the room when you said it." I said, "But I felt the authority of God on what you said to that man." And I said, "He's either extremely ignorant or he's extremely prideful." And I said, "I don't think God holds things against people who are ignorant. But the prideful, he knows afar off." And that man had a year to repent, and he never did. And he ended up losing his job. He lost his marriage. All these things happened. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. But I'll tell you what, he brought harm. And this is what these guys were doing. They were bringing harm to Moses. They were dogging his steps, dogging his feet. He's delegated relationship, but he is a delegated leader of God. He's not God. He's not saying I'm God. He's a delegated. He has delegated authority. We have delegated authority as believers in Christ. And so what happened, as you know, the whole story, he told them to come out. And of course, just the earth opened up and swallowed them up. I mean, just saying, that's kind of a bad day for them. Okay, it got pretty severe. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's pretty, you can go back and read Numbers 16 and 17. I'll tell you what, it's a serious, serious thing to attack delegated leadership. Now, I don't think we have that problem here, but I'll tell you what, you will see this as God is preparing us for what he's doing in the end time harvest. That stuff is going to start to percolate and be, it's already there, but it's going to be there. And we've seen it before, But at the time, now after these 250 people came and leaders with everything, and they got swallowed up in the earth, then the congregation came and said, "You killed all those people. Who do you think you are?" I mean, I would have thought they would have said, "I don't think Moses can do that." I'm kind of thinking maybe that was God. I'm thinking that was kind of a God act. So, and then now what happens to them? A plague goes out. A plague. And like 14,000 people die from the plague before it gets stopped. And finally they had to settle it, okay? This is how they settled it. He had the heads of the households come, all the tribes. And he said, "Put your name on a stick, an almond stick. We're going to bring it in front of the tabernacle, and we're going to see who God delegates as the authority around here." And so as you know, the next morning, all the sticks were still sticks, except Aaron's rod had budded with almonds, leaves, flowers, and then God had them put that into the Ark of the Covenant and save that. Because that is a picture of God's delegated authority, and God is the one who delegated this authority here. And but I'm talking about this because we are coming into such a time that there is such anti-Christian sentiment in this earth. There is such pridefulness. There is such deception that's going on that people don't understand that the order of God and the anointing of God will only flow through people who are in right relationship. Okay. Now, right relationships at home. Husband, wife, children. This is a whole teaching I'm not going to do today. Okay. Husband is the head of the wife. I know it makes people shudder and get all, you know, crazy. All right. Because it's been abused for sure. Wives have abused. Look at Jezebel. We know Jezebel. Okay. Wives have abused this. Husbands have abused this. Children, so on. I just want to settle this today, though. Okay, number one, men and women are equal before God in their worth. There is no favoritism toward men or toward women in God's eyes. Okay? That's a, and it'd be a big revelation. Galatians 3:28. There was neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There was neither male nor female, for you were all one in Christ. I think that kind of sums it up. We are all one in Christ. Different functions. My husband functions differently in the marriage. I function differently. Children function differently. It's a matter of knowing your function. We need to be in a right relationship in the home. And then number four, right relationship with each other in the body of Christ. Okay, and I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but we know 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, all the many parts. And anybody who's a nurse here, you know, there's a liver and there's a pancreas and there's an eyeball and there's feet and all those things. And Paul had written that the body of Christ was all these many different parts. And as far as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that body being many are one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ Jesus. One. Now, we need to learn how to follow the scriptures of 1 Corinthians 13 about not being easily provoked and loving each other and being kind and all that kind of stuff to have good relationships. But 1 Corinthians 12:18 says this, but now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now listen, everybody in here I know has spiritual giftings. They have talents. Some of you are using them. Some of you are not. Some of you think you have a talent in an area and you don't. And some of you think you have a talent. For example, I have had now, present company excluded. Everybody, you know, wonderful worship team, choir people, you know, y'all sing good. But I've had people who've come to me and tell me they're going to, you know, like lead the choir and they can't sing a note. I'm like, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's not your gifting. Okay? We need to know our gifting because God has put us in the body of Christ just as he pleased. I would love to be a wonderful gymnast, you know, but I'm happy if I can walk through the building and not trip over my own feet. Okay, I know that's not my gifting to be a gymnast, but there are people who that's their gifting. They are naturally good at it, and when God anoints them, they're going to be fabulous. Same thing with any area. I know people who are wonderful medical people. There's other people that, you know, they're going to throw up if they see anything, if they even see a needle. They're gonna faint. So, okay. So we have all these types of authority in the church. Okay, we have the ultimate authority, which is God, but then we have civil authority. But remember, in the authority of God, and in the church, we have to be a right relationship with God, a right relationship with the delegated leadership in the church, right relationship in the home, and a right relationship with one another. Okay, that's why there's so many scriptures about not backbiting and not gossiping and not stealing and not doing nasty things, because we have to be in right relationship here, right relationship here, right relationship here. Okay, now, and there's civil authority, okay, which to me is a lower form of authority, but however, I mean, compared to God. But this is like the police, and this is the kings, the queens, the presidents, the prime ministers, whatever. They're in authority, and the Bible tells us, commands us to pray for those in authority. Whether you like them or not, pray for them. And there's been some leaders, I'm telling you what, they are awful. They stink, but I do pray for them. And one time, I have to tell you this little story. One time we had this guy in the church who God spoke to him. And this always makes me crazy when people say God spoke to me. And they never like ran it through somebody maybe close to them that might be a little more spiritual, might be a little older in the Lord. And so God told him he was going to marry this woman. Okay, whatever. If she says yes, it's up to her. I'm thinking she shouldn't say yes. She'd be crazy if she says yes. But not my business. It became our business because a pastor was at, we get a call at 3:00 in the morning. And this pastor in our church, who was nice, he was more the gentle shepherd type. Okay. Listen, you can't always be the gentle shepherd. Sometimes you got to rattle people's cages, okay? You got to rattle them. They got to get the truth here. So, 3:00 in the morning, we get a call, and I'm going to call this guy Vito. Okay, that's not his real name. The name has been changed to protect the guilty, okay? So Vito has been at this woman's house for hours, like 6 hours, and wouldn't leave. And so this pastor calls my husband and goes, I don't know what to do. Vito won't leave. He's saying that she's going to marry him. And she said, no, I'm breaking up with you. I'm done with you. Smart. And so my husband's like, I'll be right over. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You've been there for how long? 6 hours with this guy? No. So my husband goes over. He goes in, and Vito is sitting on the floor in the girl's apartment. And my husband said, you need to leave. She's not going to marry you. You need to go. He's like, I'm not leaving. God told me to stay. Okay. Spiritual authority said, you need to leave like now, like 3 hours, 6 hours ago. No, I'm not leaving. God. So my husband calls 911. Okay. Here comes the police. Alrighty. Here comes civil authority. Praise God for civil authority. I pray for our civil authority. Thank God we have them. And this disrespect that's going on with the police has got to stop. And I'm praying to God that this garbage will stop. This is Satan's work. And we honor our police and first responders and our people in authority. So anyway, the state police come in, two guys. And my husband said to this Vito, he said, you need to leave. And so the police said, you need to leave. And he said, nope, God has told me to stay. This is a person who doesn't get it with the delegated authority of the spiritual authority. Okay, so here's civil authority. So they pick the guy up. They're like screaming at him. They're throwing him down the stairs. They handcuff him. They're like, you nut. And they're screaming at the guy. My husband felt bad. He said they didn't want him to be thrown down the stairs. I mean, they didn't really throw him down the stairs. But, you know, they were like, oh, you're not leaving? Well, here's two guys that just literally physically picked him up and dragged him down the stairs. And they handcuff him to the car. And my husband's like, wait a second. Let me talk to him one more time. please wait. He goes, Vito, are you going to leave? And he's there. God is telling me to leave now. I was like, oh, so glad you finally heard from God. But so if people don't listen to spiritual authority, you will listen to the civil authority. I've been here at the church where, you know, somebody's like, okay, we had a few incidences here. And I'm like, okay, you don't want to leave? You don't have to leave, but I might say so. Hey. So, but anyway, so authority comes from the Greek word, which means delegated influence. Now, we sang today, but in the name of Jesus. You know, we have delegated authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to use it. And so Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and I'm just about finished. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. And this is even before Jesus had gone to the cross. He gave them power and authority. That's what we have, church. We have authority. We're under authority. We are under authority in our families. We're under authority at our jobs. We're under authority in our church. And we are under authority, but we also have authority. See, when you know how to function under authority, you know how to properly use authority too. And Jesus said this. He gave them power and authority over all demons. So when you think there's a demonic activity happening, don't run in a corner and say, please stop, please stop. Don't do that. Okay? Just say, in the name of Jesus, you go. That's it. Just tell them. You have authority. Delegated. I mean, like, I'm a paper tiger. But the one standing behind me, he ain't no paper tiger. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one who has been dead and he's raised again. Oh, yeah. I've got authority in him. So he gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. This is what all believers should be doing, preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out devils, curing diseases. This is our inheritance in Christ. We're under authority. We have authority. We need to use it. We have been given delegated authority from the Lord of this universe. So let's go back to Psalm 133, and I'll read it again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay, that's because we're in right relationship with God. We're in right relationship with each other. We're right in relationship with delegated authority. We're in right relationship. We are in right relationship where God has put us. And behold, how good and it is pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. In right relationship with God, delegated leadership, relationship in the home, relationship with each other. It is like the precious oil. Now, we know that oil in the Bible is a picture of the anointing, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. When Aaron had that oil coming down, that was a New Testament type of the anointing of God that doesn't, it didn't come up from the feet. It came down from the head. It came down from the head, and we know that the head is Jesus Christ. But we know that there are other parts of the body that delegated authorities and so on. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit came down through this, upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. And Aaron is the priesthood. And are we not? Jesus Christ is our high priest. And are we not under shepherds? We have under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we not people that are priests and kings unto God? Yes. Yes, we are. And we are the church of the living God. And so that anointing will flow down when everything is in right relationship. It will flow down. And it will create such a power because everything is right. Just like a physical body is right. When you see someone who ran a race or someone who swam, you know, a race or something like that, everything was in place in that physical body. And that's the body of Christ. So running down on the edge of the garments, it's like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. And I had read that this Mount Hermon was a mountain and the mist would come down. It is depictive of, it depicts the glory of God. When the anointing is in right relationship and is flowing the way that it should, the glory of God is going to fill this place. And that's what you saw in Solomon's temple when they couldn't even stand up. The glory of God was so powerful they couldn't even stand. That's our inheritance as believers in Christ, because we understand the authority of God. We use the authority of God as delegated authority of God in our lives. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And Jesus said this, and I'll close with this. Acts 1:8, I'll leave you with this thought. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, the anointing, has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So let's all stand and let's remember that God has given us that his anointing and his authority will flow through people who are in right relationship, and the power will be unstoppable. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Father, I pray that everyone who heard the word today, Father God, would be of people who understand true authority that comes from you. Lord, that understands delegated leadership, that understands their place, Father, that you have placed us in the body as you please. That each of us has been placed in the body of Christ at your choosing. I pray that every person in the hearing of my voice would develop the giftings, the talents, the call of God, the purposes of God, and that not one would be out of joint, and that not one would try to take a place that is not theirs to take. I pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding and help us to grow in knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit's anointing in our life and the power of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ when we are in right relationship with that. In Jesus' name.